Let us commence our weeknight service by singing together hymn 187. Hymn 187. Tune Festus 464. Jesus draws the chosen race by his sweet resistless grace, calls in them to hear his call, and before his power to fall. Hymn 187, tune Festus 464.
Genesis, we read a part of chapter 5 and chapter 6. The book of Genesis, chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 21, and then chapter 6 as well. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old. And Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. The length of the ark shall 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, to bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons. And thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee, to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Most gracious, ever merciful, long-suffering Lord God, almighty, all-glorious, having all power in heaven and on the earth, I am that I am. Great God, how infinite art thou, What worthless worms are we? Let the whole race of creatures bow and pay their praise to thee. Now, Lord, we have come to praise thy great and holy name for all thy mercies and all thy truth's sake. O Lord, we meet for this purpose of divine worship, to render, Lord, to thee the praise due alone for all thy mercies and all thy truth's sake. And so, dear Lord, do be mindful of us gathered here this evening. We thank thee, Lord, for this another opportunity to gather together around thy word, here with our dear friends at Maidstone, and pray, Lord, that thou wilt be mindful of us in all our great need, in all our dependence upon thee, and grant us, Lord, thy gracious help, both in body, mind, soul, voice, speaking. O Lord, we live to prove our complete and total and absolute dependence upon thee for every breath we take, for every step we take. Lord, continually our eyes would be up unto thee, from whence cometh our help. Our help, Lord, cometh from thee. Thou, who didst make heaven and earth, the seas, and all that therein is, who keepeth truth for ever. Now, dearest Lord, do grant thy blessing upon each part of the service, the reading of thy holy word, the singing of thy worthy praises, the prayers offered in thy dear name, Lord, spoken verbally, and those where there is that moving of the heart and lip, that the voice is not heard. And Lord, do help me to speak in thy great and holy and eternal and precious and sacred name, the name of the Lord. We thank thee, Lord, for the written and incarnate word, which we have to live by and wait upon thee in consideration of the eternal word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And we do thank thee, Lord, for the ordinance of the ministry, and for all thy dear servants that thou hast commissioned to go forth with a thus saith the Lord. Grant, Lord, to us each that divine anointing. Help us, Lord, to open our mouth wide and speak boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. O thou saidst, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. O do fill my mouth, Lord, this night, with the good things of the gospel, that it may be a word to comfort, console, cheer and help by an exercise, living family. For thou knowest, Lord, the way that we take, the path we walk in, the circumstances that we find ourselves in, according to the will and good pleasure of our God. And what grace, Lord, we need to continue to press on, to persevere. For the way, Lord, is not easy. The way of man is not in himself. But, oh, to know that our times are in thy hands, and all events at thy command. And so, Lord, do help us now, as we desire to spend that little season together around thy word at thy dear feet. For Lord, are we not all of the heart, of the heart of one man, in our desire for the blessing of the Lord to rest upon us from above? We pray, Lord, for thy cause and interest here. Thou, Lord, art well acquainted with the way they take, with the path they walk in, the exercise of their soul as before the Lord. We thank thee, Lord, for maintaining them and upholding them until now, and pray that thou wilt continue so to do. And grant, Lord, thy blessing upon thy word that is proclaimed in this house of God. Oh, we do pray, Lord, also that thou wilt increase them numerically and spiritually, if it could please thee. For there is nothing, Lord, too hard for thee. Oh, do then remember this hill of Zion, this testimony to the truth in this town. And grant, dear Lord, that others may be brought here to hear the word of God. For many people, Lord, much people, live in this area. That, Lord, we have to realize it is a day of famine, not of bread, but of hearing the word of God preached. What a famine, Lord, it is. How few have any desire for the things of God, taken up with the vain pleasures of a dying world, content with the husks that the swine do eat. But Lord, thy people, that little remnant, according to the election of grace, need the finest of the wheat, winnowed with the shovel and and the fan. We do pray for our dear a friend, Raymond, in his responsibility and labour of love here, and also the weighty concerns of the Bethesda committee as well. Lord, do grant him grace and strength so to do. And our dear friend Bernard in his ministry here and amongst the churches of God, much journeying and travelling, Lord, to various causes of truth. Grant thy preserving watchful care to be over him. And then as he enters the pulpit, to know and feel the presence of the Lord, guiding, directing him into the truth. And oh, may he feel, as the psalmist said, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. May it be a sacred pleasure, Lord, to him and to me and to all thy dear servants who labour in word and doctrine and faith and practice. O Lord, crown thy gospel with success. Remember the dear children that are brought into this sanctuary on the Lord's day. O Lord, thou wast, when here on earth, did take a little child in thine arms, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. O, grant us, Lord, that childlike simplicity, that complete trust, Lord, in thee, as a dear child does in their parents. May we trust, Lord, in thee, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And now, Lord, we would pray for thy people in there, collectively within the body of churches to which we are united. O Lord, those that are in the deep waters of affliction and the depths of bereavement. O Lord, and that little lad, Seth, who on the Lord's day we understood was so ill. We don't know, Lord, what the condition is today, but oh, we would again desire to commit that dear lad into thy gracious hand. And pray, Lord, that if it is thy sovereign will, thou wilt perform a miracle and magnify thy name. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory. O Lord, do manifest thy glory in restoring mercies, subject always to thy sovereign and gracious will. Now, Lord, do remember us as a nation. Oh, our leaders need thee, Lord. The national church needs thee. The king needs thee. Oh, may they be brought to feel their need and to seek unto God for help. Oh, Lord, may there be one and another raised up, a Nehemiah or an Ezra or a Mordecai in the day in which we live, who will be able to testify and speak in high places concerning what Israel ought to do, to seek unto God and unto God to commit our national cause. And Lord, we pray for the serious situation in the Middle East. Oh, the horror of war, death, destruction, despair, injury, tears, lamentation and weeping. Oh Lord, what a sad and solemn state. What can we pray, Lord? What can we say? Oh, may thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we feel our words are swallowed up, and pray that thou wilt in mercy grant that wars may cease to the ends of the earth. Rend the heavens, Lord, and come down. That these mountains of seeming impossibility may flow down at thy presence. And so, Lord, we would sympathise with those who have lost dear ones, children who have lost parents, parents who have lost children, those taken hostage. Lord, we would remember them before thee. And thank thee for thy great goodness to us in this our land. O Lord, how great is thy goodness. And we would thank thee for the same. Now, Lord, do help us as we come to thy word. Grant that ministerial grace, God-given ability, and all needed help. And bless the singing of the sacred hymns. We ask all with thee forgiveness of our every sin, pleading the precious name and blood and righteousness of Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.
Let us continue by singing together hymn 180 to the tune Salvator 652. Lamb of God, we fall before thee, humbly trusting in thy cross, that alone be all our glory. All things else are dung and dross. Thee we own, a perfect Saviour, only source of all that's good. Every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. Hymn 180, tune Salvator 652.
No.
Seeking the Lord's gracious help, dear friends, in your prayerful consideration of the truth this night, let us turn to the Hebrews, the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 11, and the verse upon my spirit is verse 7. The seventh verse in the 11th chapter to the Hebrews. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. The Apostle Paul, as divinely inspired by the Spirit of God, and writing to the Hebrews in their persecution that they were subject to by other Jews because they had embraced the Christian faith, then he brings before us these Christian worthies that went before, that had borne testimony to the truth of God and acted in accordance with the oracles of God. And so in our lesson this evening, we have a detailed account of the sad and solemn condition of man upon God's created earth. And what a solemn time it was. What wickedness abounded. And Noah is 500 years old when he is first brought before us in the Word of God. So we don't know anything prior to that. And dear friends, we don't have to know. God has not decreed and purposed that we should know. But we know he had a godly father, a godly grandfather, and a very godly great grandfather. Enoch walked with God. And I'm sure that you can echo the same, that you had a godly father and a grandfather, and perhaps you were told concerning your great-grandfather. And so there is a posterity, a following on, from generation to generation. And this is in accordance with the divine will of God, because the Lord has said concerning a thousand generations, a thousand friends. Well, the most, I suppose, that we can remember, or a person can remember, perhaps is four generations in their life. Those who are very advanced in years. Well, friends, what's four generations compared to a thousand? It's nothing. So it sets before us the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And due to the Adam fall, oh, that terrible fall, the Adam fall, I have felt, dear friends, concerning that, as you look into the Word of God and study it very carefully, I don't believe that Eve and Adam had any comprehension of the far-reaching consequences of their action. The subtlety of Satan beguiled them, deceived them, and they lost all sense of their accountability and their responsibility before God. And they fell, they sinned. And yet, dear friends, that's the same with man today. He has no understanding or comprehension of the far-reaching consequences of his actions, of his sin, under the temptations of Satan. The beguiling and subtle influence removes that responsibility, that accountability. And that which is pleasing to the flesh they commit. And then the consequences they have to bear. You see, dear friends, sin entered the world. It's a great mystery, isn't it? Or the sin entered into the world is a mystery. But godliness is a great mystery. It is indeed. So the world at this time was in a solemn state. It was corrupt due to man's sin. The earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. But what's the difference today, dear friends? The same today, isn't it? Corruption. And then, because of corruption, there's violence. Friends, there's nothing new under the sun. And so God, in his judgment, in displeasure, said that he would drown the world, destroy man, by means of a flood. But notwithstanding the wickedness abroad the earth, here was a man of God, Noah, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What a favour. What a witness in that sinful world then as it was. Here was a man of God, a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God like his great-grandfather did, Enoch. So God would save dear Noah and his family from this flood. But this ark of gopher wood had to be made. So the Lord spake to Noah, as we read, and gave him a detailed account of what was required. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Obedience. Now the Lord bless this dear man with faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, as the Lord helps me, I want to set before us the glory of faith. And you see it in the light of the first creation. God created man in his own image. He gave to man a mind. He gave to man a reason. Man by nature in the first creation has been given reason to enable them to be reasonable. If men on the earth were all unreasonable, there'd be anarchy and conflict and fighting and, well, the world couldn't continue. It would just be complete havoc. So, the Apostle Paul said that we may be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. It behoves man in under creation, the first creation, to be reasonable. And there are many men who are reasonable, and many people who are reasonable, but they don't fear God, they haven't got faith. So, faith is something beyond human reason. There have been some great scholars in the world, and through reason they have attained unto great things. But friends, the things of God have been completely hidden from them, because the carnal mind of man cannot understand the deep things of God. They must be spiritually discerned. Now, God's dear people, under the second creation, the new creation, being born of God, quickened into divine life by the Spirit, then in that new birth, it is the sacred operation of the Spirit of God in their soul. Thus, God gives them faith, which is a fruit of the Spirit of the indwelling of God in one's heart. And faith is one of these precious fruits, and without it, it's impossible to please God. We have scientists today telling us all manner of things about creation and millions of years ago, and all the emissions have got to be reduced, otherwise the... Friends, it's all complete. What word can we use? It's vain talk. Because they don't understand. They haven't got faith. Now, where God gives faith, then it goes far, far beyond the limitations of human nature under the first creation. And it receives everything that God says. It believes everything that God says. God the Father. It is impossible for God to lie. Jesus Christ is the truth, the way and the truth and the life. The Holy Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. And faith only receives and believes the truth. Nothing else. And it rejects the lies of Satan. This is faith. So it looks beyond all sense and reason. and it enters into the realm of the Spirit. And it believes everything that God said. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So faith is a substance. It's a reality. It's spiritual. It's divine. The things of time and sense are like a vapor that appear for a little time, then vanish away. Faith doesn't vanish away, it's a holy substance. So it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now that's just where Noah comes in. The evidence, he had the evidence through the word of God that the Lord would destroy the world. But it wasn't seen as yet. But he believed it because God had told him. So he commences in this sinful environment that he lived in to build an ark. The word of God gives us the clear dimensions of it. And it was something in the order of 500 feet in length, about 80 or 90 feet wide and about 50 feet in depth. You might say, well, whatever has that got to do with my soul? A lot. What it sets before us is faith acting under the divine instruction of God and the influence of the Holy Spirit. You cannot be hid. He's making, building this ark in the midst of a godless generation. And this ark is a great size. In other words, the earth and all that live in it can see what he's doing. And they would look upon him and Peter tells us in his second epistle concerning these ungodly people. Spared not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So, as he built this ark, he preached. He was a preacher of righteousness. He preached Christ. What would that do? It would bring the reproach, the mocking, the humiliation of an ungodly world. Like it did the dear Redeemer when he was on earth. He was mocked, he was rejected. When he was on the cross, they mocked and rejected and railed upon him. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross and we will believe thee. Oh, sitting down, they watched him there. Noah would have known the same in his measure. And he was labouring, building the ark, for the best part of 100 years. He first appears in the scripture at 500. The flood came when he was 600. There's 100 years. So something in the order of 100 years, just a little less. Here he is, labouring, building this ark, and the world can see it. Friends, if you have faith, you can't be hid. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And a child of God under the exercise of faith can't be hid. You are different to the world that lieth in wickedness. You are different to the ungodly. You fear God. You walk in his tent of fear. You go attend his house. And your whole life is influenced by the word of God. So the wicked see the difference. There's a separation in heart and practice. And Noah was building for all these years. And friends, by faith, God had spoken to him. He believed it. The evidence was there. But it was not seen. But he knew the day would come when it would take place. And so he was preparing for that day. Friends, are we preparing? Are we preparing? There's not going to be a flood now, but the earth will be destroyed by fire. And you see, what does Matthew say concerning how it was in the days of Noah? And it will be the same in the day when the Lord comes. If I can just light upon that word in Matthew, I think I can. It's in the 24th chapter. But of that, heaven and earth shall pass away. That is the firmament that we look up and see. And the earth shall pass away. But my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Friends, it's going to be just the same. Instead of a water, it'll be fire. So, faith prepares. Oh, there's that desire to be prepared for this great day, not to be found wanting when the Lord comes, but to be waiting and ready, like those five wise virgins that went in to the marriage supper of the Lamb. They were ready. Why? Through faith. Through faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if we please God, friends, it's a proof with faith. We've been given faith. Now the carnal mind of man is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither can indeed be. Enmity is hatred. Hatred to God. That's the ungodly. But the Lord's dear people love the Lord. And he gives them faith. Now faith is only operative to the glory of God through the power of love. Love, you see, brings forth faith, or it increases faith. Faith worketh. That's the word I'm thinking of. Faith worketh by love. So, you see, Noah loved the Lord. Indeed he did. He loved the Lord. If we have faith, we shall love the Lord. It's because of love to the Lord gives us faith. We love him because he first loved us. And so, you see, Noah, by faith. Friends, are you walking by faith or by sight? The child of God is to walk by faith and not by sight. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So, Noah, and what a godly man he was, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Friends, what a mercy in a sin-cursed world that we live in. If we have found grace in the eyes of the Lord has given us his grace, then, by grace, he could be a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God in the midst of this godless generation, this sin-cursed world. He shone as a light in the world. There was a gospel witness. Even in those evil times, there was a godly witness. And friends, we bless God that there's a witness to the truth in the day in which we live. Because it's a very, very, very solemn day in which we live, friends. The wickedness that abounds in this land, we don't begin to realise. Well, we don't want to know, do we? Want to be separate from it all in heart and practice. But oh, the wickedness that abounds. But there's a remnant according to the election of grace. There is this little remnant, always has been, according to election of grace. And the Lord gives us faith. And that enables us to bear witness to the truth that the Lord is God. Openly. Openly. You don't hide your light under a bushel. The world can see. They know. There's an open testimony. Noah's building of the ark could never be hid. And no child of God can be hid. That poor dear woman that went to the Lord, or in her heart, she said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I should be made whole. And she did. And immediately virtue had gone out of Christ. Somebody had touched me. Now the disciples said to the Lord, Lord, there's all these people round me, all this multitude of people. But the Lord said, somebody. Friends, is that you? Somebody. Somebody have touched me. And when the dear woman saw that she could not be healed, she came down to the Lord and fell at his feet and told him all the truth. Oh, the Lord blessed her. She couldn't be hidden, nor can you, friends, if you have the grace of faith. You'll walk in those footsteps of the Lord, following him and walking in this world in honour of him and in accordance with his word. Thy word, Lord, is a lamp unto my feet, a guide in my path. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. But we've been warned of God. We are warned of God, aren't we? Of the solemn times that will come. And then that great day will come when the firmament will all melt with fire. Oh, friends, seeing then that all these things shall be, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? We know it's going to come. We don't have to hear all about this. Emissions and all the creation is getting warm and all. Friends, you can get all of that. We know the day will come when the Lord will destroy this world by fire. We've been warned. God has told us. And faith believes it. Believes it. These things Jesus did that she might believe that he is the Son of God. Now that we weren't on the earth when the Lord was here. We weren't on the earth. So if one said to you, one who is a heathen, or one who is not a true child, a worldly person, and said to you, how do you know all what the Lord did? How do you, weren't here, you weren't on the earth. How do you know? What would you say? I do know, because I have the testimony of truth. And I believe the written and incarnate word. It's truth. And so as it is as if we were there. Because we believe by faith all that is recorded. So we've been warned, friends, by God in his word of things not seen as yet. No, and I believe, as the word of God says, there will be that furtherance and deterioration of wickedness and violence, and nation against nation, rising up against one another. These are the things the Lord has said would take place, and the Apostle Paul has said would take place. And friends, these things are taking place now. We've been warned. We have been warned. We can't be a claim and hide behind an excuse and say we don't know. Friends, we do know. God has warned us. God has told us. A part of the ministry of God's word is to warn. Is to warn. The part of the ministry. And so, friends, we need these things brought before us from time to time to consider them. Now, in the light of this great solemnity that will come, like the flood that came, like the fire will come, then how do we conduct ourselves? How did Noah conduct himself? He moved with fear. He wasn't slothful. He wasn't indifferent. He wasn't careless. There was a moving. Faith moves. It moves the person. Because faith has eyes and ears and a mouth and hands and feet and fingers. The spiritual faculties of the new man of Christ. And there's a walking in the ways of truth. The speaking to the glory of God. Oh, and the ear to hear what the Lord will say unto the churches. Dear friends, there's a movement. Faith isn't idle, slothful, indifferent, careless. No, it's diligent. It's diligent. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Friends, the realm of the Spirit is a diligent business. What did the Lord say to his parents? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Spiritual business, friends. Ah, and you move with fear. Well, this fear is not a servile fear, as a slave before a taskmaster. Nothing to do with servile fear. It's a filial fear in reverence before God. That's what it is. Friends, where does faith? There will be the fear of the Lord. Dear Job feared the Lord. He had faith. Elizabeth and Zacharias were walking in all the precepts of the Lord blameless. Friends, they were God's dear people. They were moving with fear. And the Lord's people today are walking in the tender filial fear of the Lord to his honour and glory whilst here on earth, to bear testimony to the truth that the Lord is God in heaven above and there's none else. Friends, let your light so shine before men. Well, are we moving with fear? Oh, the fear of the Lord is so precious, it's so wonderful. It's a secret of the Lord. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. With them that fear him. And dear friends, if we want to see, and we do want to see, the fullness of this filial fear, where will you see it? You'll see it in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we read concerning the Lord Jesus, who in the days of his flesh. When he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, in that he feared. There's the filial fear of the Lord in all its fullness in Jesus Christ. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. He feared, that reverence, that godly fear, that submission as the man Christ Jesus to God the Father. And you see, this is really the fear of the Lord. It's a sweet submission to the divine authority of God. Walking in his tender fear. Like children are exhorted in the Word of God to love their parents, to be obedient to them. There's a reverential fear, a regard, a love to their parents. They don't rise up against them. The parents do all they can for their good, and the children yield obedience to them. Now the Lord has done everything for his dear people. He's saved us with an everlasting salvation. It's required of us, with reverence and godly fear, to walk before him. You see, it's honouring to him, and it bears testimony in this sin-cursed world that there are a people who love and serve the Lord. The Lord has never been without a witness in this world, and he never will. He never will. He'll always have a witness to the truth that he is the eternal God, and there's none else. There's been much idolatry recorded in the Word of God in the Old Testament, because in the New as well. Diana, Ephesus, oh, the idolatry. But friends, God has a witness. It's a witness of truth. So Noah moves with fear. Yes. He doesn't act in presumption. No. He moves with fear. It's going to take him 100 years to build this ark. That doesn't matter. He's moving with fear. God has warned him of what will come. But God won't send the flood until the ark is built. Now, of course, the ark is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the book of Exodus we have a detailed account given to Moses concerning the building of the, or making an ark. And then there was the mercy seat above the ark. And in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And the Lord says, and there I will meet with thee, and will commune with thee. The sacred place. The Lord Jesus Christ. As the man Christ Jesus. There I will meet with thee. And then in the Hebrews we have this furthered by the Apostle Paul. He speaks of the tabernacle, that is the first part, the sanctuary, and then he speaks of the second, which is the holiest of all, and that had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. So this was in the ark, in the Holy of Holies. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat. So this is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so by faith, Noah saw the day of Christ, as all the Christian worthies did. They all had a view by faith of Jesus Christ. Abraham rejoiced to see my day and was glad. Oh, friends, have we seen the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to us by living faith? You see, the human mind of man, friends, can't comprehend the deep things of God. They must be spiritually discerned. But living faith, you see, is revealed to faith, is Christ, the Ark of God, the Ark of Christ. Here's your safety, your eternal safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my safety is in Him, the hymn writer says. Oh, your eternal security and safety is in Christ, the Ark of Christ. He gives grace, and then He gives glory. So, dear friends, how precious these truths are. And so He prepared an ark for the saving of His house. This is the household of faith, because the Lord gave a covenant for perpetual generations. So this is the chosen seed, the Lord's elect people, the saving of His house, that blessed household of faith. I know it relates to His own family, but it goes far beyond that. In a spiritual application, the whole people and church of God. So I see the time is going quickly. By the which He condemned the world. And this is very important, friends, for us to understand. Here He was building the ark. It was to the glory of God, for the salvation of His chosen people. But it was also a condemnation of an ungodly world. And this is another way to view the Church of God today. This chapel in this city or town of Maidstone, what is it? It's a condemnation of the ungodliness committed in this area. It's condemning the world. And friends, our life of faith, in dependence upon the Lord, as we have to live in an ungodly world with those that fear not God, neither regard man perhaps, we are condemning the world by our walk of faith, our life of faith. Condemning the world that lies in wickedness. Perhaps you hadn't realised that, but friend, it's a fact. He condemned the world by the building that ark. And so by faith in Jesus' name, as we walk in His tender filial fear, we are condemning an ungodly world. It's a very beautiful consideration, isn't it? It's true, friends. It's here in the world. I believe it. I believe it. And so, you see, the Lord Jesus came into this world to save your sinners. He condemned the world by His holy life. And in so doing, He endured the enmity of ungodly men. But there were those that loved Him. There were those who needed Him. And there were those who by faith saw He was not just a man. They knew He was God and had power to save them. Now the religious leaders of the day, He was just a man, the Lord Jesus, just a man. But to the Lord's dear people, He was God. He was God. He had power to save, power to deliver, power to heal, power to raise from the dead. He was God. and faith receives the Lord Jesus as the eternal Son of God. Blessed art thou, Simon Peter, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father that is in heaven. So, condemning the world, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. This is the righteousness of Christ, wrought by his perfect life for his dear people. Oh, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ for his dear church. For of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, the holy, just and sovereign God, and his life here below, the perfect life, perfect obedience. He wrought that royal robe of righteousness to adorn his church with, so that the marriage supper of the Lamb, no soul can enter the marriage supper of the Lamb unless they have the wedding garment on, this robe of, he became the heir. Oh, what a blessing to be an heir, to obtain that inheritance wrought by Christ. It's all by faith. Now it's the same today. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God, and the soul believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by faith, and the justifying righteousness of Christ delivers them from the law of condemnation and the curse of the law. Because Christ, in his holy obedience, you see, he was obedient unto death. Noah was obedient. Abraham was obedient. The Lord Jesus, in his holy obedience, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that removed the curse from the dear people of God. And they become heirs of the righteousness which is by faith. We'll almost come to the close, friends. May the Lord add his blessing to his own precious sacred word, and he'll have all the glory. It'll be for our spiritual benefit. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 176 to the tune of Farningham 141. Now, dearest Lord, to praise thy name let all our powers agree. Worthy art thou of endless fame, our springs are all in thee. To whom, dear Jesus, oh, to whom shall needy sinners flee, but to thyself, who bids us come, our springs are all in thee. Some tempted, weak, and trembling saint, before thee now may be, let not his or hers hopes or wishes faint, his or her springs are all in thee. Hymn 176, tune Farningham 141.
Now, dear,
Father's love, the communion of thy Holy Spirit, be with us all this night and forevermore. Amen.